How great thou art. my burdens gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when Christ shall come, with shouts of
Hallelujah! Jesus is Lord, and He's coming back. We need to be ready for Him. How do you get ready? By turning to Him and asking Him into your heart, receiving and understanding the fact that His blood cleanses us from all sin. So we need to understand and see that and seek that. Without God, without Jesus, you will not see God. I want to give it a little bit of an update on what's going down across the border. A few prophets who have backed off have now, they see some of the stuff that's going on. They're now getting back on track that yes, Trump will be in for the second term, it seems. First they apologize, now they're apologizing for apologizing. And I don't know, if you hear from God and you tell it to people, you don't apologize, because that's the truth. He speaks to you, either you hear or you don't. So God wants you to understand. He's not going to use you if you're going to go back and forth. First, you hear from God, and then you don't. The question is, did you hear? I know I heard from Him. I know that He told me on the second banquet, I heard His voice, that He is going to bring the hammer down. So we're going to see when the second banquet is. That's where what my looking forward to is right now. It's very interesting how the world just is in a spin right now. Everybody's looking to America to see what's going to happen. It's not only America and Canada that are in this battle. It's the world over. They know when America goes down, it's finished. We head for a one world government, and that's not going to happen. And it was not today, not in the near future. I know for a fact when America goes down, then there is no hope for a lot of people. And God who is a just God. He has a plan. He has a plan to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And let me tell you, I believe and I see it in Scripture. When that's going to start happening, many, many people, many Christians will be surprised on how things work. Because many Christians read Scripture as if it's just a book to read. I read Scripture because I understand it's an instruction book. It gives us ways on how to operate. You know, when you read an operator's manual from any vehicle that you're going to purchase, it's there to instruct you how to take care of things. It's not just something nice to read. And the problem is, many churches today, they go there, they have a nice little sermonette, and then they go home. Oh, that happened years ago. It was nice to know and nice to hear. Oh boy, we feel so purified by just hearing it. You know, many Christians have become, they have become obese. They understand, they see, they've read the Word of God, and they have ingested all these words. They know how it works, they see how it works, but they've never done nothing with it. So they've become fat with the Word of God. It's time to release it. So there's going to be a way for God to use the information that He has written us. So I want to teach on this today. And it'll surprise you, maybe be a little controversy, but that's what I'm all about, is to be controversy, especially when it's against the establishments of this world. The world needs to hear the truth. The church needs to hear the truth. So before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord, to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, that You have left us the Word. I thank You that You will open people's hearts to the understanding of it. Lord God, I also pray that You will show us in signs and wonders and miracles that these things that are written there for us is not just for us to read, but for us to put it into motion and to use it for ourselves. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. When you study the world system, the church system today, as a pastor, years ago, when before I became a pastor, I zeroed in on end times. But after I became a pastor, I started dealing with different types of people. So the Lord put on my mind, I need to expand a little bit. I need to get to know how things work. And one of the problems with many young people, even though they don't quite understand it, is witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is something that God invented. You have to listen closely. God invented and Satan perverts. That's witchcraft in most cases. Like you take me giving a word of knowledge to somebody, and I've done it. In today's Christian society, many will say that I'm a quack or that's dabbling in witchcraft. So now let's flip the coin here. The people have no problem sitting down at the witch's desk and giving them their palm to read and then telling everybody everything she said came true. Why is that? Because the person, those people, they get into the spirit realm and they see it. They see what's going to happen. Satan brings it out. So it's not illegal to go into the spirit realm. It's only illegal if you go through witchcraft, through channelers that are witches. It's totally forbidden by God because they lead you into darkness and confusion. I want to give you a little bit of an example. There is a guy by the name of Jacob in the Old Testament, in Genesis. He got married to a lady who had a father. that was a little bit of a cheat, if you remember, Laban of the Old Testament. He was Jacob's father-in-law. Well, for wages, he said he will give Jacob certain amount of lambs. And you can have all the speckled lambs. But the problem was, there weren't too many. So he's like a lot of people, giving a minimum wages, basically. So finally, Jacob went to God and said, "Listen, God, I got this problem. I need to build up my wages here. I got two wives now. I got kids. I need to feed them, and I need to take care of them." And God said to him, "You go and take a branch and peel off the bark a little bit, and leave a strip, peel off the bark, leave a strip, and then just put it into the water troughs of the sheep." And guess what happened? The sheep then have young lambs, and most of them, if not all of them, were speckled. Now, if I would do that today and tell it to people, they would say, "I am crazy," or "I am into witchcraft." I could give you example after example from the Word of God. We see how the prophets operated. We see how God's people operated in the Old Testament. Unbelievable miracles, signs, and wonders happened. And if we would somehow try and do this today, if we would hear from God and do it, and guess what happens? Raising people from the dead. There are people who do that. And what do they call it? Strange fire. Because I give the blame to those teachers that tell us that the power of the Spirit went out with the apostles. That's how they teach their people who come to church. You take the Catholic system. How do they operate? They, when they try to go into a place and convert people to Catholicism, they do it simply. They allow them to bring their witchcraft with them. And a lot of those people are seers. They see into the spirit realm. And then automatically, when they operate in the spirit realm, it's called witchcraft, which it is, because they go into it illegally. We have been called to use the power of God. In the Word of God, they were transported from one place to another. In the Word of God, they were bringing down fire from heaven. In the Word of God, they were talking to the weather so that they would have good weather. And the Word of God, they tested God in different ways. They talked to angels. Abraham talked to God himself. We can see these signs and wonders and miracles all over the Bible. But for some reason, the church has taught us they're good to read. But leave it alone. Don't make waves. I got news for the church. God is going to break through and bring the truth to the world, because through signs and wonders, they will turn to this God, because God will show them who he really is. It is the blood of Jesus that brings people into the kingdom, but the apostles, they would pray over a handkerchief. Can you imagine that today? With some, they would pray over a handkerchief and they would give it to people so that they could lay it on the sick so that they could be healed. I remember Brother Moses telling me, they had that Brother Moses is from Uganda. They're into signs and wonders and miracles. He told me a few stories that will shake your head if I tell them to you. But you may say, that's in Africa. They don't know any better. No, in Africa, the power of God is moving stronger than here. Here is what happened. They had a demon-possessed guy there who they had to chain up. His wife could not let him go. She had to feed him. His hands were tied and his feet were chained. He was totally chained up. And she finally came to them and asked for help. And they prayed. And then they prayed over this handkerchief and said, now you take that handkerchief and take it to that lady who asked for it and tell her to put it on her husband who is chained up. Don't release him till that handkerchief is on there. And when the neighbors saw what she was doing, they said to her, you're crazy, he's going to kill you. And she said, the man of God told me to do this. She laid the handkerchief on the person, and guess what? The demons left, and they unchained him. He was in his right mind. That's how we operate, or should operate today. What does the medical profession do today? They give those demon-possessed people medical names, like dementia, like cancer, like any of those things that are hitting your body. It's demonically driven, and the demons have to be taken care of. Can we cast out demons today? Oh, yes, we can. I know that for a fact. I've done it. God wants us to step into that direction because we need to. He is going to bring the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring in the harvest. And I personally believe that's the big harvest that the church, that the Word of God is talking about. Now let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll teach you what the Apostle Paul teaches here. I'll read it from what he says. It tells us, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the beginning. Jesus Christ, the salvation message. And then when you have that settled in your heart, it's time to go on. You may ask, what do I mean by going on? Exactly what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. You know, when you listen to preachers on the radio or even on TV, you've heard those messages 250,000 times, only with a little spin. There's hardly anything that's exciting anymore because they go over the same thing over and over. One guy wrote me a letter once. He said, yes, you got that right. The two fishes and the five loaves of bread every Sunday, that's all we get anymore. Why is that? Because they have nothing. They're not into the Spirit of God. It says, I didn't come with man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know, these nice sermonettes are nice to listen to. I have nothing against it. But when young kids see the power of God, and older kids, older people, if they see the power of God, they will think twice about dabbling into witchcraft, which YouTube and the school system is teaching them. Harry Potter books, they teach kids to get into the spirit realm. You can go on YouTube. You shouldn't do it, though, but I've seen it, where they teach you step by step on how to get into witchcraft. Here the Apostle Paul came, said, I didn't come with a nice little sermon. I also had the power of God through the Spirit of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the point here that I'm trying to make. People need to understand there is power behind the gospel, especially if you follow it up with the power of God. But as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's things there that we say, oh, in heaven it must be great. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what's prepared for us. But look at what the scriptures say. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So even like the Bible teaches us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to bring heaven down into our everyday life. We need to walk with God. We need to talk with him. We need to come against the enemy through the power that we have. In the Old Testament, they do mighty signs and wonders. This is why we see the world as it is today. The church, instead of being into that power, instead of taking responsibility for what's going on in the world, they dropped back and had that nice little churchy stuff. We better not get involved with the world system. We better not get involved with politics. That's not what God intended us to do. Oh, yes, he has. He says, I have given you this earth and you need to subdue it. And once the church will start understanding that, we will not see the corrupt governments that we're seeing now, because people who love God will get involved, like we're already seeing in the States. I still have to see it here, but it's coming. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. When God shows you something, check it out in the Word of God. If it lines up, then enjoy yourself. Seek God on it. I have sought God in many ways and in many forms, and God has given me answers. I was one of those guys that years ago told Jesus, Lord, keep me pliable. I don't want to be an old wineskin that busts when you pour in new wine. I want to know and hear your voice. I want to see what's going on in the natural. I want to see what you have for us. I will give you a story that some of you may not quite believe, but it's the truth because it happened to me, and I don't lie, as most of you know. Sometimes I do, but not when it comes to spiritual things. For sure, that's when I speak, when God speaks to me or shows me something, I try to give it as clear as possibly as I've seen it. Years ago, I asked God, is anybody listening to my radio stations? Anybody that could you show me something? And guess what? During the night, the Lord took me for a ride. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't remember. But I entered into this one house in a certain place, and God showed me certain people that were listening. I knew the number of them. I knew exactly where they came from. And I knew, he also showed me a person that was against it. And then when I was finished, he showed it to me. He brought me back into my body again. I believe I was out because I felt myself hitting my body. I felt it. It's like coming down in an elevator and the elevator stops. You feel that strange sensation. That's the way I'll explain it. It took me years for me to have the nerve to find out if what I saw was true. And I can tell you with confidence, it has been checked out by people who live with those people, and they tell me you're dead on. You can do with this story what you want, but I know that I was there, I saw, and I heard. I dared to ask God, and He answered and showed me what I wanted to know. So it tells us we should compare spiritual things with spiritual. Did that happen in the Bible? Yes. If you're a reader of the Bible, God will show you these things, how they happen and when they happen. So God wants to teach us. He wants us to understand that this is an instruction book. It's not just a nice little book to read. And, oh, now I've done my duty. I read my scripture. Now I can go on. No, you read it, you study it, and you take it with you during the day. If there's a chance, you'll be able to minister to others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. I know there's people who are not going to believe what I just tell them because they feel this cannot happen. But so there are people who do not believe in the finished work of the cross. Why? Because the Bible teaches us the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. You have a strong belief in your salvation, but I know that there are people who are listening right now who will have problems what I told them. It's foolishness to you. Why? How do I know that? Because you haven't reached that point yet. You need to step out of the basement. You need to step away from what God is showing you and take a step farther. When I was a kid, I walked into a pond. We learned to swim. First, I learned how to operate with water, like walking on there, paddling around. Eventually, I learned how to swim. But it took guts. It took determination. So, have you learned how to walk on water? Well, maybe you should try asking God how to do this. And when He sees the need for it, you'll have no problem with it. Hallelujah. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Listen to this. Who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Here's something interesting. If you want God to instruct you, you need to understand that you have the mind of Christ, because it tells us, for who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, ask God for instruction. God is waiting for people who are asking for instructions so that God can instruct them what to do. I kid you not. I've seen these things. I understand them. And for me to turn back to those nice little sermonettes, yes, they're nice to read, but forget about it. I have gone a step forward. I will still give you nice sermonettes once in a while, but I want to give you food to digest so that you will be jealous, not in a bad way, but you will start seeking. The Bible teaches us we're supposed to make the Jews jealous by what we're doing with Christianity. I believe it's time that Christians need to make other Christians jealous by telling them and showing them the power of God. This is what I intend to do, whether you like it or not. Those of you who are listening, you either have to come or you just have to delete, one of the two, because God is soon going to show us mighty signs and wonders in a way that this world has never seen. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Listen to this. For whatsoever things were written before were written for what? For our learning. Not just to read. For our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. How simple is it here? It's easy to understand. It's written for our learning. If you learn something in school, it's not just to have in school. It's for when you graduate. That's when the learning comes into practice. Hallelujah. Anyways, that's what happened with me. So if you're still in school, if you're making a job or a profession out of staying in school, well, then that's your choice. But I want to graduate. I want to move on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for what? For examples. They were given examples for us. King David nailed Goliath with a rock from a sling. Was David afraid of Goliath? Absolutely not. He knew exactly what he is doing. Like when you hear it on TV or, oh, little David coming against Goliath. No, David killed the bear, he killed the lion, and this 12-foot beast was no different. And he nailed them with one rock. And guess what he did? He cut off his head. So with God, you can do the same thing. All you need to do is practice being in the presence of the Lord. It was given to us for examples, and they are written for our admonition, to admonish us, to get us moving upon whom the ends of the world are come. And we're seeing. We are at that time. This generation is going to see mighty and incredible things. God is not mocked. What the church sowed, she is reaping now. This is why we're seeing COVID. This is why we're seeing people wearing masks all over the place. Because they're afraid. They don't seem to understand that God wants to speak to them. They just succumb to the will of those that are in authority. If you would have the power of God in you, you would stand up and say sorry. In the New Testament, when they came against Christianity, they went to be burned at the stake. They were torn by lions. They were killed on every side. And they even were able to stop these things. But the thing is, they knew heaven was better. And many of them chose rather to die than to stand against the evil that was coming against them. Because why? Personally, I believe they were a little selfish. They wanted to go home, many of them. They should have stayed and preached till they were old, up to 125 years, and then go home. That's what God designed us to do, and that's what we should look at. Is our work finished? Do we even have a work? Have we even tried to get into doing the things of God? Well, God tells us there is a bema seat of Christ, a judgment seat of Christ. And he is going to judge us according to our works. Not our sins. Our sins are judged at the cross. But our works. What did we do for God? What did we do with the gifts that he gave us? Did we use them for him? Or did we just let them stay in the box? Or did we use them for ourselves? He is going to be the judge of that. The Apostle Paul said, I don't even judge myself. I don't really know. Did I do perfect? I hope I did. That's what I'm saying. I'm going by faith. I'm going the way God shows me. And one of these days, I'm going to rejoice in heaven because what I've done here on earth is going to count for what I'm going to have in heaven. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.